Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. Man, are there a lot of storylines today. The 33rd team, which is a really good football site, put out a George Pickens trade proposal. And Doug Whaley and Doran had a very interesting reaction to it. We talked about Ramon and Ben. There's several different topics with those guys. One, the leadership or lack thereof within the Steelers' offensive room in particular. And some interesting comments on the coaching. But right now we get to our friend George Michalowski of Pittsburgh Sports Now. He covers Pitt basketball. The general is warming up in the bullpen. We're going to talk to the general about this Skeens card that this 11-year-old found, the one of one. Apparently there were several Skeens cards that are worth some money. I want to get the general to sort that out too. But this 11-year-old kid found the one of one. What would you do out there if you got that? Would you consider the Pirates' offer of, what is it, Bob? What is it?
30 years of torture, essentially.
I know, 30 years of Pirates games. Is that a threat or a promise?
Behind home plate, though.
I know.
Yeah, that's cool.
You get a closer look.
That's a wonderful place to be, I can tell you that. But, no, I mean, I think that's fine, except it has
Plus, you get Skeens jerseys. You get
to play a softball game.
You get to sit in the suite with Livy Dunn.
You get to play a softball game at PNC Park, which would be a wiffle ball game.
But there's a cash component to
this.
No,
I know. I'm going for the cash.
Yeah.
George, how about you? What would you do if you found this ball or card?
Yeah, I go for the cash. I mean, I'd want to reach out to Paul before I reach out to the Pirates. I don't have enough respect for what the Pirates are doing right now to take up their deal right away. That's for sure.
Well, let's move to Pitt basketball for a moment. I asked you this question last week, and you were rather definitive in your answer. I said, do you still have Pitt as an NCAA tournament team? You said yes. They haven't won since we spoke. Do you still have Pitt as an NCAA tournament team?
Joe, I do. I know it pains people to hear that. But
no, I think people are happy to hear. It doesn't pain anybody. I'm just surprised they've lost 4 in a row and they're sitting here at 3-4 in the conference, in not a very good conference.
Right. Well, you look at what their resume looks like, and I know it's hard to see that right now, that big picture, because they've lost 4 in a row, but their worst loss of the season is Clemson, which is hard to believe. It's the only quad 2 loss that they have, and it's barely a quad 2 loss. If Clemson moves up one spot in the net rankings, that's a quad 1 loss. So the people that are deciding on who makes the tournament aren't looking at Pitt right now as, like, out of the tournament, as a bad team. They're looking at Pitt like, okay, this is a good team that's on a skid. They'll have to turn it around. I mean, look, if they lose this Saturday against Syracuse, my answer changes. Like, that's a must-win game. It's on the road. It's at the Carrier Dome. I think it's now the JMA Dome, whatever. It's not going to be an easy game. The only positive stat working in Syracuse's favor this year is defensive rebounding. They've got some four forwards are four of their top five scorers. So Pitt's going to be tested. They've got to win this game on Saturday. But as of now, I think they're in the tournament right now. And I think if they win, you know, the majority of their games going forward, you know, and win the ones that you have to win, like this Saturday, I think they're in.
Bobby Tollywoggled here. He's right. I'm looking at Bracketology on ESPN. The last four in is Pitt. This man knows whereof he speaks.
I met George the other day. I was happy to do it at that Clemson game, and that was a disappointing game with these slow starts, number one. But also, I thought in overtime, just my opinion watching it, there was no rhyme or reason to any of their offensive sequences. It was just give the ball to Jalen Lowe and let him shoot threes. That's not, to me, a winning way of playing offense in a game like that.
I agree with you, Bob. It was great to meet you, and it was tough to watch that overtime. Like, down the stretch, Jalen Lowe, I mean, the shots that he was taking were from Blake Hinson range, and they were sometimes too early in the shot clock and most of the time too late. They were waiting till the clock would run down. So their problems have snowballed. I don't think that's Jalen Lowe's fault. I think this team, and I wrote about this after the game, I think this team is lacking a volume three-point shooter. They had Greg Elliott 2 years ago. They had Blake Inson the last 2 years. They don't have anyone this year that I believe opposing teams are scared of from outside. Zach Austin is 29th in the ACC in three-pointers attempted per game. Jalen Lowe is the leader, but he's only shooting 28%. So Jalen Lowe and Ish Leggett have been forced to take incredibly difficult shots with the way that Pitt's offense is playing and opposing teams are defending them. They can just pack in inside, force Jalen Lowe to take tough threes at the end of the shot clock, and win games. Pitt hasn't won. In the last four games, Jalen Lowe and Ishmael Leggett are 36 for 102 from the field. That is a lot of dang basketball shots, and they're not making a lot of them.
George, had it been a dream of yours to meet Bob?
Oh, Jesus.
It had. Hey, anyone that's sitting courtside is royalty, man. It was great to shake his hand.
Well, I was very happy to meet you because it's, you know, you read your stuff, and I hadn't had a chance to see you, but I was glad you came up and we chatted, and I think I agree with a lot of what you say about this team, and I do agree that this game on Saturday is a must win.
Limits?
George, Damian Dunn is back, but feel like the Panthers really haven't felt his impact yet after coming back from injury, no?
So I actually disagree with you in part. I think in that second half he came out hot. He had looked like that hand, that thumb was still bothering him before that. I agree with you there. It didn't really feel like he fit in what they were trying to do. But they're losing games, and they were losing games when he was trying to fit in. So it's not, I wouldn't say it's his fault. I do think I liked his impact in that second half, especially early on against Clemson. He hit probably the biggest shot of his early Pitt career there when he pulled up for three in transition. I thought that was a gutsy take. But he got the place on fire and he drained it in a big moment. So I still, I'm bullish on Dunn. I think he's a guy who, as a veteran, those kind of guys you need down the stretch and you need right now, and you've lost four straight. You need him to come into work and show up and practice hard and not give in like bad teams would do in the first few years of Capel's tenure. So they need vets right now. And I think Dunn is going to prove to be effective down the stretch here.
George, you're a wonderful man, and I'm glad you were able to achieve a life dream of yours by meeting Bob. And I also like the fact that you disagreed with Limits, because I do all the time, and then he comes at me.
He likes to come at me too, by the way.
Thank you, George.
Thanks, all right, George. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. You too.
What a nice man, huh, Bob?
Very nice man, yeah. Very, very astute on this team and basketball in general. I honestly think there are too many teams being – I don't think there are enough good teams to field 68, by the way. I just don't. I look around and I see teams that really don't belong.
Well, thank God there are right now, because Pitt's the last four in.
And they're talking about
ESPN
potentially expanding the tournament too, adding another four teams.
Of course they are. Just let everybody in and give everybody a trophy at the end. Maybe a little ribbon to say that they participated.
Or a pin.
Or
you got in a nice little pin.
All right, let's move on to a subject of great interest around here, and it has been for a while.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The one-of-one Paul Skeens card and how an 11-year-old in L.A. Opened a pack yesterday and he has the card. How much will it be worth? What would we have done? What about these other one-of-ones? What happens now? All of that. The general. It's Jeff Patton. We call him General Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And the general is on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. General, what did you make of this? And how rich is this kid going to be? I guess my real question is, would you sell now and take the money, whatever the money might be, or wait for the card to appreciate?
Gentlemen, good morning. Appreciate you having me. I think it's no question. I love cards more than anybody. You got to sell it. It's a brand new card. Card's 10 weeks old. $1 million. We've kind of lost sight of how much money that is. I'm selling the card.
Is that what it's worth right now?
How much?
It's going to go for more than $1 million because there's going to be somebody somewhere inside this industry or out who wants to be a part of ownership of such a story. You're buying the story as much as you're buying the card. That thing encapsulated the sports world for 10 weeks. There will be somebody that pays $1 million plus for that
card. But how about if he wins 2 Cy Youngs in the next 3 years and that card goes up in value?
It very well could, but I would tell you what I would do is I would sell it. I'd give, don't forget, a portion of it's going to go to the IRS. That's the other. Everybody talks about this, like, would you take the Pirates offer? Even if
why
you take,
do they have to be involved in everything? Like, the IRS.
Question. No, seriously, but there are actually precedents for...
Bob, it's taxes.
That's BS.
What? Well, I agree with Bob.
Come on now. They take enough of your money on taxes. Somebody gets a car and you got to pay taxes on it?
To me, it would be...
I know you do, but I'm just asking the question. I think it's stupid, but go ahead.
To be fair to both sides, I think if they sell the card, then it's monetized, right? But they actually are cases where they're charging before you even sell the item, which is really hard to say because then you're going on a valuation.
What? In that case, I agree with Bob.
Yeah. $1 million is still a lot of money. What I would do is pay the taxes, give a portion to my wife, and then buy a bunch of other good stuff that is undervalued.
Now, do you think, General, that you can approach the Pirates and say, okay, I'll take your offer, but I want $1 million cash as well? Both.
Well, see, to me, that's where the tax part comes in. I've proposed this to hundreds of people, and almost none of them thought of it, but I'm like, you take those taxes or those tickets, they're going to tax you every year on it. It's going to be $20,000, $30,000 in taxes. That has to be part of the negotiation to me, even if you do take the tickets.
General, if you held on to the card and Skeens goes on to have the type of career we have, maybe the greatest in baseball history, who knows, what would we be talking 10 years from now if you still had the card?
So here's my thinking, and I totally have all the confidence in the world that Skeens going to be fantastic. He'll win multiple Cy Youngs, in the most likely. That being said, it's $1 million for a card that's 10 weeks old. If I'm investing $1 million, I'd rather have something like a Wagner that's 100 years old or a Mantle that's from 52. I just think it's nothing to do with Paul Skeens. It's to do with you're selling off the hype. That's my position on this, is you're selling into the story. When the story fades, there's been 100 stories. When the story fades, and it doesn't even have to fade because he's not successful, that has nothing to do with it. There'll be another story, right? Jaden Daniels is percolating. Now, this was the perfect storm. And whether they know it or not, the Pirates contributed to this in a positive way, at least to this industry. When they put that tweet out, the phone started to ring. So whether they were genuine, whether it was whatever, it built this story times 10 by the Pirates showing an interest in it.
All right, General, what's the next Moby Dick, so to speak, out there? The next Holy Grail, the next big card?
This is the great thing about what Fanatics has done, Topps Fanatics, is they're so creative. You asked in the intro about the difference between the one-of-ones. I have a one-of-one. It's a printing plate. It's from Topps update from this year, so I have one of the Skeens one-of-ones. It's not autographed, and it doesn't have a piece. What made this card unique was, in people's minds, Skeens actually wore that patch in a game. So that's what separates it from other one-of-ones. Other ones they just make, and they only make one of the card. They put a serial number, and those are all awesome. Him wearing that patch in a game takes it up 10 notches. That's why that one's so valuable. So we're only limited by the creativity that's coming, but that was certainly a great one.
And what's the next one out there? In any sport, anywhere, what's the one card everybody wants now?
Jaden Daniels. You mentioned that, Jim.
Daniels is probably the one. Mm. In fact, it'll go. We had this conversation on the showroom floor yesterday 7 or 8 times. If he wins this weekend, it just continues to grow. Right, it continues to grow.
General, you're quite a... Go ahead, sir.
I would say he's the story.
All right. Now let's take a guess at the card of the week. Bob, you get the first crack.
Alex Nedeljkovic, goalie, goal, big saves. He's won 2 in a row, so I'm going to go Alex Nedeljkovic.
That's a good pick. I'm going to go Jaden Daniels. Limits?
I'm going with my MVP, Josh Allen, who's going to the Super Bowl this week.
What do you got, General?
All fabulous guesses. We can't pass on Ned, so I'm going to put Ned in there. But that's only the secondary gift this week. The primary gift, don't forget, this business is predicated on the history of baseball. And Ichiro goes in last night with the fourth highest total of all time.
Mm. And one guy who didn't vote on him.
We think it might have been Ron.
We got Ichiro Suzuki rookie card from Upper Deck Vintage in 2001. And then I'm also going to give you a Nedeljkovic autographed Upper Deck canvas card commemorating the goalie goal.
Terrific.
Awesome.
What
Thank
a doubleheader
you, sir.
That is.
We appreciate it, General. We'll talk
Thanks,
to you
Chef.
Next week.
You guys have a great week.
You too.
It's 11:02. Now's the time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. By the way, Bob, I think that Nedeljkovic scored the greatest goalie goal of all time. Most goalie goals were just a matter of you were in the area and someone accidentally tipped it in. There's been very few, and Jari has one, where the goalie shot the puck down the ice into the net. Not only did this dude shoot the puck down the ice, he did it in traffic. He took a hit and he had to avoid a guy, and it was the full length of the ice. I think it's the greatest goalie goal ever scored.
And you could tell that there was a lot of practice that he put into it. I saw a highlight tape of Alex Nedeljkovic goals that he had. He's had multiple in the minor leagues, too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Especially, I think
it's
2 in the AHL.
He's had in every league he's played.
Yeah.
He has one.
Bobby took a hit on the play.
Yeah, if he had dropped the gloves, that would have been the perfect hat trick. You know, an assist, a goal, and a fight.
Right,
because he had an assist earlier in the game.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.